You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 26. And I may or may not use those. We'll see. I want to just go over briefly. And everybody say cornbread and beans. You're gonna know a lot of these passages of Scripture. These are going to be familiar stories. You've heard them before. We're going to bring out another point, hopefully, something that you may not have seen or something that will definitely help you, because the Word of God is good. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so the Word that's going to come forth this morning is going to help you. It's going to be power to you. It's going to empower you to go out and to share to other people. I want to share with you this morning, and I tell you, I'll give you the title, because it won't give away some of the little nuggets that I've got in here. I'll give you the title, and I'm not really a big title person. I'm kind of like Dad. I'll preach it, and then I'll think about let's see, we taught on this, and okay, we'll call it that. But this morning, this came rolled on the inside of me, a place called faith, a place called faith, and I This is going to be a message about believing, but, I'm going to tell you some stories here, some good stories right out of the Bible about believing. And, some of this is kind of a pot. It's not really, I don't like potluck. We call it something else. Pot blessing stew or something. Of several things that I've heard over the years. A couple things points that I've ministered, before as well. But man, just the way this all tied together and came together, it just had to be God. So in Genesis 26, let's read this, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land. I'm going to move this down. Am I a little bit loud, just a little bit? No? Okay. All right. Well, I won't mess with it. Okay. There was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac, everybody say Isaac. Now, who was Isaac? Isaac was the son of Abraham. He was also the son of... Now you can't hear me, can you? Because Dr. Burgess turned it down. I saw him back there. I heard it go, whoop. Okay, so I'm a TV and audio guy, so I catch those things. But anyway, there was this famine land in Isaac. Everybody say Isaac again.
Isaac.
Everybody say Isaac.
Isaac.
Now I can't hear myself. But no, it's good. It's fine. It's perfect. Isaac was the son of Abraham, was the son of... What's the other word that they use when they refer to Isaac? He was a son of promise. Son of promise. He was a son of promise. He was the son of promise. He was the son of faith. Faith, there was Ishmael and then there was Isaac. And Ishmael was not the son of promise. He wasn't the son that God promised him to, that he would have him and Sarah. But Isaac was. And then also we know that Abraham was blessed. And it said that Abraham's seed would be blessed. Amen. And so Isaac was the seed of Abraham. Now, he was the promised child of Abraham, so he would thusly be blessed more so than Ishmael in one respect. But because Ishmael was the seed of Abraham, Ishmael was blessed as well. Now, not necessarily in being a good family person and having children that would be good people, because out of Isaac, we get the Jews and those people. And out of Ishmael, you get the Arab nation, which you can see there's some great turmoil between those two. And, that's what happens whenever you don't follow God and you don't follow the promise. So Isaac was the son of promise. He was the son of faith. And thus, he was a seed of Abraham, and he was going to be blessed. All right? We are children of faith. And if we are the children of faith, we are also the children, the seed of Abraham. So we have the same promises. Everybody say the same promises. Same promises that Isaac had. And actually, we have not just the same promises of Isaac there or of Abraham, but we also have the name of Jesus, something they didn't have. We also have a little more insight to the Word of God and to the mechanics, to the process, to understanding how we can believe, and that there is a devil, and that there is a God. We know a little more details, a little more specifics about the world and how it operates. than they did. But you know, they didn't have all the revelation that we do. They didn't have all the word. You know, of course, up to about, let's see here. Well, I guess it'd be the Genesis 26. Up to about Genesis 26, they didn't have all the rest of this. Well, they think maybe Job was already written, but, you know, Job was thought to be the oldest book in the Bible. But really, you know, they didn't have, that's quite a lot. Now, I've got the maps in there too, but, you know, they didn't have maps either, so. All right. Anyway, you know, we are the children in one respect because of faith. We are the children of Abraham as well. And so we have, we're heirs according to the faith, to the promise. We can believe God and receive the same blessings that Isaac did. And so, there was a famine in the land, and beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, into Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Now, this is God speaking here. And obviously, Isaac had intentions of going to Egypt. Just a little deductive reasoning here. I'm thinking that God saying, don't go to Egypt, means that maybe Isaac was planning on going. So just follow along here. So the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, but dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Now this is important. Okay? This is instruction. Remember we talked about, hey, this does tie in. Remember we talked about obedience. Hallelujah. Wow. We talked about obedience. Okay. So anyway, this is instruction. This is something that Isaac is supposed to do. And what he was supposed to do was stay in the land that God told him to stay in. Okay, sojourn in this land, stay, you know, dwell here, sojourn in this land, and I will bless thee, and will bless thee, I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I have a footnote here that says, the perform, I will make effective. You know, it takes you being obedient to God's word for God to make effective the promise that he's given you. The promise is there. It's waiting to be made effective. But it takes faith and obedience, believing God's going to do what he says and believing, you know, and doing what God says for you to do to make effective the promise that God has in your life. Amen? If it's joy, if it's peace, if it's wisdom, if it's financial matters, a good job, favor, you know, if it's favor, if any of these things that you want to make effective in your life, according to the promises and the word of God that you find, it takes faith to make those things effective. Amen? To perform, for God to perform those. And so that's kind of along the lines that we're talking here, a place called faith. What was the place that he told him to stay at? Well, he said, dwell right here in Gerar, the land of Gerar. And so you could say that this was the land of Gerar, but you could also call it the land of faith. Yeah. Because obviously Isaac thought it'd be better to go to Egypt where they had a bunch of stuff stored up, you know, to help out in the famine, time of famine, that he would go down there and then he would survive and he'd be okay and that, you know, Egypt would be his supply and his source and his deliverance. But God said, wait. You know, Isaac, I want you to stay right here in the land of Gerar, and I tell you what, if you'll stay here, I'm going to bless you, and I'll be your supply, and I'll make effective the promise I swear unto your father Abraham, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to get, in fact, I tell you what, if you stay here, I'm just going to give all this to you. Hey, I'm all about that. You know, if God tells me, says, hey, you know what, I want you to stay over here in Will's Point, and Eva says, heaven forbid. If God says, I want you to stay right here in Will's Point, and you don't need to go over to Dallas or, you know, New York or Chicago or Detroit. You know, you don't have to go to those big places. You don't have to go to some big city to make a lot of money and to survive and to be prosperous. And if God told me to stay right here in Will's Point, I'm going to bless you, son. This is where I want you to be. And I tell you what, when it's all said, I'm just going to give all this land to you. You're going to own Will's Point and Edgewood and all this stuff around here. I mean, in essence, that's what he told Isaac. Is it not? I mean, you know, Isaac, he's coming through Gerar. He's just passing through. And God says, hey, let's stop right there. I tell you what, if you stay here, I'm going to bless you, and I'm just going to give all this to you. Okay. The land of faith. The place called faith. So if Isaac does it, he's going to make effect of the promise. Amen? All right, and it says in verse 4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. And so verse 6 says, and Isaac dwelt in faith. I mean, he dwelt in the place called faith, but actually it was, he dwelt in Gerar. Amen? Okay. Let's skip on down because, you know, the Bible is good about telling the good and the bad to all of our heroes of faith because, you know, the Bible is not going to hide from the things that people messed up because it also wants you to realize that they're human and they messed up and you can mess up, not intentionally, but you can run astray and God will forgive you. But Isaac learned something from his daddy. He lied about his wife, said it was his sister, same thing his daddy did. And that's the little story you see here from 7 on to about 11. And they got it all resolved, and the king, you know, charged him and says, hey, you know, you shouldn't have done that. You know, something could have happened here, and it'd been a bad deal, you know. So, you know, nobody flirt with his wife, who we thought was his sister, basically. All right, so in verse 12, skip on down. That was real quick paraphrase. Then Isaac sowed. Oh, this is good because Tommy's just talking about this. And Isaac sowed in that land. If you're going to dwell in the land, you should sow in the land. If you're going to visit this church and you decide that that's going to be your home church, then you should sow in that church. If you're going to, they have a deal that they send out on email around Will's Point. It's a shop Will's Point. Hey, that's a good thing. You know, that whenever you're shopping, if you can, you know, find the things you need in Will's Point. We don't have all the big stores, you know, so we can't find everything all the time. But, you know, if there's things here that you can find here, shop in Will's Point, hey, that helps the community. You live here. You know, it's going to help that community grow. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. There's nothing biblical that really, you know, says you should buy stuff from the town you live in. But, you know, that's a good thing. You know, it helps your community. It helps the community grow. You know, in the land that you dwell in, you should sow seed. You know, this is good. We support missions. We gave $226,800 to missions last year. And I don't know what the total is for local. What is the total for local? Do you have a clue? I know this. I will say this. A few years ago, I do know this. The numbers seem to stick in my head. We gave like $140,000 to missions. And I want to say like 20 to 30 of it was local, I think. Is that right? Do you remember that? I don't remember exactly, but it was close. It was something like that. We'll get the figures and we'll let you know. But hey, what I'm trying to say here is that we live here. We, far be it from us to go and give all of our money to the people around the world and not help the people in our community. You know, we support the local missions of Van Zandt County, Benevis, which is now Rural East Texas Community of Shalom. They just went from one long name to a different one. And we do. We support Genesis Center in Kauffman that brings in women that you know have been battered or beaten or in trouble, and they bring those people, bring their kids in, and you know take care of them, get them back on their feet, minister to them. You know, it's a good organization there. We do. Do we the Placentero, the birth. No, okay, I'm not sure about that one. We do several things. We help people in our community. We help people, you know, that somebody may come by here in need, and we help them out with. Oh yeah, hallelujah night. That's all, you know, free. It's a missions to our community. It reaches thousands of people. If you don't know that, where have you been? And I'll tell you where you can be in just a few weeks. Because we need all the help we can get. But hallelujah night is another one. You know, we help people in the community with different things. And you know, that's our local missions. We sow seed in the land that we dwell in. Amen? And that's what we should do. We should help the people in our community and the people outside our community if we can do that as well. So it says he sowed seed, verse 12, in that land and received in the same year, the same year that they were having famine in the land. The same year that they were having famine in the land, and most people were running for their lives, going to Egypt, trying to survive, it says that he sowed seed, and in the same year, he received, in the same year, 100-fold. Wow. Isaac sowed in that land called faith. Isaac sowed in faith. A place called faith. That's where he sowed. He sowed in faith. The land called faith. Gerar, but God told him to stay there, and if he would, he'd bless him. So in essence, by staying there and sowing, he was staying in faith, and he was sowing in faith. And because he did all that faith, he reaped 100-fold because of faith. All right. It's just the tip of the iceberg, people. There's so much more. And the Lord blessed him. And the man, Isaac, waxed great and went forward and grew until he became not just great, but very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines, they envied him. God, this guy, he's got too much stuff here. Looks like God's trying to make effect of that promise. He said he's going to give all this stuff to him. Before long, we don't get rid of this guy. He's going to take over, and God's going to give all this to him because he's starting to, you know, collect everything. For he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. You know, he's king. He's getting a little worried here. You know, you got a guy who comes into your town, and, you know, you got a mayor that's, or, you know, maybe somebody that's got a lot of money that's kind of helped run the town. Somebody else comes in, starts getting prosperous, starts owning this business, buys this property over here, buys this over here. Well, that guy, he gets a little nervous. He's about to take over my town. You know, in the old days, you'd go hire Clint Eastwood, take that guy out. You know, so anyway. But anyway, it says, Abimelech said unto Isaac, verse 16, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed from thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And now we get down to the good stuff. Okay, we're finally getting there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, in the place called faith, in the valley of faith. They digged in faith. Amen? Digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Wow! There's water down here. How in the world did they do that? Well, they digged a well, and they stayed in the land that God told them to stay in. God said he'd bless them. So they dug in faith, and they found water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water's ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And he digged another well and strove for that one also. And he called the name of it Sitnah, which is enmity. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Okay. So, make this story a little shorter so we can get on to the next one. He decided to, I thought about this example because I'm going to say this, and you need to understand this real quick. I thought of this example whenever I was thinking about this message here. You know, that Dad talks about the wells, and I don't really get into the wells part and all the things about that, because then we really won't get out of here by 12, and I won't get to the rest of it. But you know, he teaches the story about the wells, the message about the wells, and he talks about, you know, dig in. Don't give in, dig in. And don't give up, but dig up, you know. Don't give up, Dig up your promise. You know, don't give in. Just dig in, and don't let the devil take your foothold. You know, and I was thinking about this too. You know, having faith is like drilling. You know, just like in this instance of drilling for water. You know, they're digging for water, like drilling. And you know, whenever you're wanting to drill for oil or gas or water or whatever it is, you know, generally you have some guys come out there and they start, you know, checking out the topography and the sea level and seeing if there's minerals or whatever. They start, you know, doing earth samples, dirt, you know, ground samples there, and they do a few test digs and they do all this research and they say, okay, you know what, over here looks like a good place to dig. You know, it looks like it's got a lot of stuff in here, and so then they'll get into that well of water, and what do you call the water out of your sink? What do you call that? Tap water. So you tap into those wells of water or gas or oil. Now, how many of y'all, I know some of you older folks used to watch wrestling. I really never did watch wrestling much, but I always thought it was just kind of, I'm not supposed to say that, but I thought it was. So anyway, I just thought, well, this is goofy. You know, it's you could tell some of it was just really fake. Now, those guys are in good shape. But anyway, what would you do if you gave up in wrestling, you got pinned down? What do? You tap out. So you need to, I thought of another one. You need to tap in. Don't tap out.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't tap out. Tap into God's Word. Sink a well right in here. I mean, just drill. And drill till you find it. Drill till you find it. Don't give up. Dig up. Don't tap out. Tap in. Okay, so we hear the story. Isaac didn't give up. He dug wells. He stayed in the land where he was supposed to. Now, let's turn to Matthew. I want you to remember this little story. We're going to come back to this in just a minute. I want to show you something, and it's going to come alive to you. So just kind of hold your place there. If you got something you can throw there, let's turn to Matthew. Actually, let's turn to Mark. I'm sorry. Let's turn to Mark instead. We'll do Matthew next. We got plenty of time. But, you know, here's a good one. I like this right here. I'm just going to read this. You don't turn here yet. Okay. Mark 10, verse 27 says, "And Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." You know, you may be in a situation that may look impossible to you. And I'm sorry, I didn't tell you where to turn. Mark chapter 6. Actually, no. Let's start in Mark 5. Well, I tell you what, I sound just like my dad, don't I? Sorry. Mark 5, let's tell this story real quick. This is good. Verse 21, "And Jesus was passed over again by a ship unto the other side. Much people gathered to him." Much. Everybody say, "much people." Whew. Y'all, when we get to this point, y'all are going to just, I'm going to have to hold you down. You're going to be jumping out of your chairs. Especially with all this unity. Y'all going to be knocking everybody over when you jump up because, you know, you're so close. "And much people gathered unto him and was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee come, lay hands on..." Y'all know the story. Jesus said, "Okay, I'll go with him." And much people, verse 24, Jesus went with him and much people, rest say, much people. This is an exciting point here. You've got to realize this. Much people, say it again, followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said... You know what? I heard Jesus was over there on Bethlehem Avenue over there. He's going over that what's that guy's name? Jairus. I think that's his name. He's and I heard his daughter was, you know, pretty ill the last few weeks or whatever. And you know what? If I can just get over there to Bethlehem Avenue and intercept the crowd, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole, because I know that Jesus, he's a healer. You know, I know he's a healer. I'm kind of paraphrasing this. And I made up the Bethlehem Avenue, if you didn't realize that. It doesn't have anything in there about Bethlehem Avenue. But it's because I need to make a point. And I need a street name, you know, just to. So she said, basically, she said, if I can get over there to Faith Avenue, if I can get over there to a place called Faith, if I can get on Faith Street and touch Jesus' garment, the hem of his garment, I can be healed. I can be made whole. And so, that's what she did. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Everybody say, "Much people." Thronged. I mean, they thronged him. They were all around him. Okay? Kind of like you are today. This is awesome. It ties in. Kind of like you are today. There's much people about you. Much people. All right? Somebody touched Jesus on Faith Street. Somebody put their faith in Jesus. Don't be laughing at me. I was clicking my heels. Okay, so anyway, she touched him on Faith Street, and she believed, and it was made effective, the promise of healing in her life. Made effective. Everybody say, much people.
Much people.
Much people. Now, I want you to, and there's, for sake of time, I can't go over all these, so I'm going to tell you the centurion story. Y'all know this one too. The centurion came up to Jesus. There's a whole crowd of people around Jesus again. And the centurion comes up and says, "Jesus, my servant is at home. He's sick." He found Jesus on Faith Street too. Isn't that a coincidence? It was on the same street. So anyway, he found him on Faith Street too. And he says, "Hey, you know what? My servant's at home sick." And Jesus says, "Hey, I'll come heal him." Because that's normally, you know, Jairus, he did the same thing. You know, "I'll come heal him." That's the willingness of Jesus to come to your house and meet you. But the centurion said, "Oh, no, 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 no. See, you don't have to lay your hands on him. You don't have to come over to my house. I understand authority. I understand that you have the power to just say, 'My servant's healed,' because, you know, I'm a man not over, but under authority. And I understand the process, the chain of command here. And this, you know, and I can say, because I'm under authority and I understand authority, I can say, 'This man go,' and he goes, and 'This man come,' and he comes. And Jesus, all you got to do is just say that my servant's healed, and it's going to be done. I just wanted you to pray, you know, say that he was healed so I can go back, you know, so he can get back to work, because I need him on his job." And so, so Jesus says, "Wow." He says, "Wow." All these people around him. I'm sure they all had, you know, needs of one kind or another in their lives. All these people around him, and nobody came to him with faith like this. In fact, he made such a great deal about this guy. He says, "I hadn't found this kind of faith in all of Israel. I haven't found this kind of faith in all of Israel." Okay, so there's another story. Faith. Faith. Everybody say, much people. Okay, let's go back to Genesis 26 real quick. We'll come back to Mark 6. I won't forget. I want you to see something here. And this came alive to me when I was studying for a message. And, just like God, just a nugget. You may have seen it. You may not have seen it. But I tell you what, if you'll just say, you know, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, and make me feel good." Whenever we get to that part. You know, just told it, okay. It made me feel good that maybe I found this nugget, and you know, it's going to help you today. It says in verse 20 or chapter 26 of Genesis, and let's start in verse 19. "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a wellspring of water." Chapter 26, verse 19. Verse 20. "And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water's ours.' And he called the name Esek. And then again they dug, and they strove for that one again too." Now, I want you to see something here. there are herdsmen that were actually by name called the herdsmen of Gerar, which I would just deduct that maybe they lived there and they had herds there. And they were men that tended to those herds in the Valley of Gerar. But see, the Valley of Gerar was only that to them. It was just the Valley of Gerar. It wasn't the Valley of Faith. Did that water just suddenly appear when Isaac came over there and started digging those wells? The water was always there. The promise is always there. God's always there to heal. He's always there to deliver. The herdsmen of Gerar probably passed by that well that had been stopped up for years. Years. And they never realized that they were really the Valley of Faith.
Amen.
They didn't realize that all they had to do was just believe God had blessed Abraham and had said, you know, this is, you stay right here, this is your land, and there's water down here, dig these wells, and all you got to do is just dig. They didn't realize that that's all they had to do to get water. There were much people about Jesus, thronging him, around him. But only one lady found him on Faith Avenue. Only one lady found him in faith. Okay? Only one lady said, you know what? When I touch him, I'm going to be healed. And there's no other way around it. Okay? Because I've done all that I can do in the natural. I visited all the doctors. I spent all the money I've got. Jesus is my answer. He is the healer. And if I can just touch him, I'll fight my way through. I'll do whatever I can to do to get to him. I'll move all those unbelievers out of the way and touch him in faith, and I'll get my healing. Much people were around when Jesus told the centurion, hey, much people, thronging about, all about me, all around me. I hadn't found this kind of faith, not just here in the much people area, but in a whole much people of Israel. I hadn't found this kind of faith yet. This is what I've been talking about. Just believe me. Just believe me. Get in that place called faith. Get where you're supposed to be. Sow seed in that place. I'll bless you. I'm going to not sow seed in the place. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to go ahead and just give you that place. The place called faith is yours. It's yours. All right, now let's just jump over to Mark 6. I told you I wouldn't forget. Is that good?
Good.
You like that? I mean, it's just came alive to me. Those herdsmen, man, and they're fighting with them, saying, "Hey, that's our water," you know. Well, of course it's your water. You should have been drinking that water for years, you know, but you didn't know that you should just, you know, dig in and believe God. Amen. That's we need to be a people who dig in, who tap in, who dig up the promises. Mark 6, the importance of faith here. It says, let's just start in the first verse. And he went out from thence and came into his own country and his disciples. You know, first of all, he had just done all these other miracles. Okay. Mark 5, we just talked about the Jairus' daughter. He healed her. Obviously, he healed her. Okay, we know that story. Then he also, you know, healed the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, and so that's just happened. And then he went from that place, and he came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, wow, this guy's really good. He said, you know, he reminds me of Kenneth Copeland, you know, or no, it says that they said, where's this guy got all this stuff? And this wisdom and mighty works and wrought by... Isn't this Joseph's son? You know, they didn't catch it. They didn't understand. They were over in his own country. They weren't in the country of faith. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended. Wow. You know, being offended will keep you out of the place called faith. Brother Tommy's taught on offense. Don't take offense. Don't be offended. Verse 4, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except for his own country, and among his own kin and his own house. And verse 5, he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about the village teaching. Now, you know, obviously, you see here that the result of unbelief is teaching. That Jesus, or the rebuttal, or the, what do you call it? The, if you want to get rid of unbelief, if you want to get rid of unbelief, you need to get into some teaching. Okay? If you don't understand that what you need to do to get the promises of God and you can't believe, then you need to get some teaching so you can find out what you need to do so that you can believe. All right? So Jesus went about teaching. And you know, we know in Romans 10:17 it says that the faith comes by hearing. And you know what I like to do too, though? Faith comes by hearing. What's the hearing? And hearing. And hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. It's an over and an over and an over process. It's you get up in the morning and you say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And you get up the next morning and you say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And the next morning you get up and say, you know what? Today's the day. Yeah, today's it. Yeah. The day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And the next day is going to be today again. And every day that's today is going to be the day that you get up and you say, this is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. Amen. And that day, I'm going to listen to the Word of God and I'm going to hear the God's Word on this situation, this promise that I'm trying to, you know, get some faith and believe on. And I'm going to listen to this Word and I'm going to listen to the pastor's message that he taught, you know, last month, last week, last year, you know, and I'm going to hear that. I'm going to read in the Word of God. I'm going to do my research so I can tap in to the promises that God has in store for me. I'm going to find the place in the property, the land, the place called here, place called faith. I'm going to find that place, and then I'm going to tap in to that place and get my promise. And it's going to be effective. It's going to be made effective in my life. Amen? Let's turn to Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews. We'll close out with this. It's almost 12. I'll try to get you out here real quick. Real fast. Fourth chapter, Hebrews 4. Sorry, I didn't tell you the chapter there. Hebrews 4. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right, that's most of us. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. In layman's terms, because that can get kind of confusing there. Let's therefore be cautious that we don't miss out on a promise. Okay? Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us in entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, like the people were in his own country. Jesus taught the word to the people in the country that he was in before, and he came to his own country and taught the same word, and he said the same message, and he was the same Jesus, and he still had the same promises and the same power and the same authority. Okay? But it says that it was preached to us as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because they weren't at the place called faith. It says it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In them that heard it. Today, the message has been preached to you. The word has been preached to you. I want you to find the place called faith. I want you to tap into the place called faith. I want you to, whatever the promises that you're trying to get manifested or made effective in your life, I want you to do like they would do if they're going to go dig some wells or you know, try to drill. I want you to do your research. I want you to get the Word of God out. I want you to find the place. Find the place called faith. It's there. It is there. Get there. Sow seed there. Be blessed there. The promises will be made effective in your life if you will tap in. Amen? You know, I wouldn't think about it. We got a couple of wrestlers here, don't we? We got a couple wrestlers, Robert and Bob, are a couple of wrestlers, and they know all about tapping out and tapping in. Hopefully they're doing a lot more of the holding and making the other guy tap out, you know, instead of them tapping out. But tap in. Don't tap out. Don't give up. Dig in. Find the place that God's called you to be. Find the place called faith. Amen. And dig up your promise. Receive the victory. Get in position, and God will bless you. Amen.